So it's good to have you guys here, and man, what a just kind of a sweet spirit it is. I love being up front and just hearing you guys sing through those songs, and just the softness and the strength of all of us praising together. What an amazing thing. So thank you for just being part of that. We're in the series, Who Do You Think You Are? And we started last week by talking about the fact that we are ambassadors, that we have a responsibility, that we are put here and given a message that we're to take, and that we have a purpose in that. And as followers of Jesus, we all have that same purpose. And if you missed that message, I would encourage you to go to the website and listen to that, and just catch yourself up on it, because this series is going to kind of, these are all pieces of a puzzle that we're putting together, so that at the end of this, that we'll all be able to know just who we are. We don't have to think about it, but we'll know. And so by knowing who we are, then the strength of not only us, but the strength of the church comes out, and we're able to accomplish the awesome mission that God's given us to be here. So I want to make sure that you kind of stay up. So we started with this idea. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Say that with me real quick. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. When you know at your job what you're to do, or who you are, you know what to do. When you know who you are, when you know that you're the guy or the girl who does this job, then you'll know that you do this job, right? I mean, it makes kind of sense. If you don't know who you are, then it's a little bit harder to do what you're supposed to do. Especially, I mean, if you're the boss and you don't really know that you're the boss, then how do you boss people around? Right? I mean, you know, I mean, you tell them what to do. You can't help them. And so you got to know that you're the boss, and you got to know that you're in charge so that you can tell other people. And so it's just, you know, it's one of those things that you have to know. I think about the old I Love Lucy episode where they're like packing the chocolates or whatever. Do you remember that? And like she stops doing it, and it, you know, it just kind of gets all crazy. I mean, it's just one of those, that's how life is. When we don't know what we're supposed to be doing and all of that, when we don't know who we are, and we don't know what to do, we don't know how to do it, and we don't know how to do it well at all. So we need to be able to figure that out. And so, you know, I've never kind of hidden the fact that I have my own insecurities, right? I mean, I've been pretty honest that, you know, speaking is not something that like I would have chosen for myself to do. This is not what, you know, this was not in my 30-year plan for sure, but it was certainly in God's plan, and he had a purpose for it. And I, you know, I struggle with that. It's tough some days to just, you know, to get up here and just talk in front of from everybody. I mean, you know, if I had all this figured out and I had it all perfect in my own life, maybe it would be a little bit easier, but I certainly don't. And so I struggle with my own inadequacies and insecurities and all of that. And if we're honest in the room, we all have those. Sometimes the most proud, boastful people that seem to have it all together are the ones who really have the most insecurities a lot of times. And we see the outside, but we don't really see the inside. And we all struggle with it. We deal with, am I good enough? Am I, you know, whatever. You know, there's this show that comes on. I think it comes on Monday nights. And it's one of those shows that if anybody was ever going to protest anything, they should protest this. But it's The Bachelor, right? I mean, no, this is not, and please, but women, if you really wanted to protest something, that's what you should protest. Because that, you know, and then the guys should too whenever it's The Bachelorette. Because it's just making fun of people. I'm telling you, it's making fun of those women. Those like 50 women come and they all fall madly in love, and that's the one guy for all 50 of them. You know, God didn't, that isn't how that plan works. But here's what happens every week. At the end of that show, they show this video clip or this part of the one who didn't get the rose in the backseat of the limo. And she's like, oh, there's just something wrong with me. Yeah, you know, but But anyway, she's just, you know, I thought I was the one, and he was the one, and, you know, whatever. But she's all focused on what's wrong with her, right? And all of this. And so it kind of goes through that. But that's how we all kind of deal with life sometimes. We all find these inadequacies and problems and all of the stuff that's wrong with us. And that's where we spend so much of our time. We go through the day and, you know, I feel insecure. I feel inadequate. I feel like, you know, there's just something wrong with me. Well, I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you this. There is something wrong with you. There is something wrong with you. Here, let me encourage you with this. Write this down. Without Christ, there is something wrong with you. Without Christ, there is something wrong with you and with me. There's something wrong with us if we don't have Him. I know you came to hear some enlightening message today. You all came to be lifted up and boosted and to walk out of here feeling so encouraged, and I just blew your bubble, out of the water. I just popped it. You know, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with all of us. In Ephesians 2, Paul lays it very much out there, this truth that without Christ, there is something wrong with us. He basically says, you're sinful, you're spiritually dead, and you're the subject of God's wrath. That's pretty bad, right? That's pretty wrong with you. And so that's the truth. For all of us, we need to understand that we're sinful, that we're spiritually dead, and that we are the subject of God's wrath without Jesus. Welcome to URA Community Church, where we just want you so encouraged, right? So here's the thing. Paul writes this in Ephesians 2, verse 1. Here's what he lays out for us. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Verse 3 says, though, by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. Here's the cool part. Verse 4 is this really, it's like this slam on the brakes and spin it around. It says, but God. When you see the words, but God, when you see these things where the Scripture lays it out for us, but then you see the two words, but God, man, you need to know that something is about to change, and it's about to change big time. Because God is there. He's arrived and He's the one in charge. But God is so rich in mercy. Thank you, God, for your mercy. And He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us what? Life. When He raised Christ from the dead, but it is only by God's grace that you have been saved. See, there's this thing. There is something severely wrong with us without Jesus. But because of who Jesus is and what He did for us, there's a change. There's a turnaround. There's something that changes all of that. So listen, Paul's not tiptoeing around it. I'm not going to tiptoe around it. Listen, without Jesus, you're dead. You're sinful, and you are the object of God's wrath. You just need to hear that. That's not some, you know, I'm not trying to scare anybody into salvation. That's just the reality for every single one of us without Jesus. But God knew that about us, and He sent His Son Jesus to do something for us. He came and He gave His life on a cross to pay the price for our sins, so that through His death, the price for our sins was paid, and by our belief and trust in it, that we can be saved, and that we are no longer dead. We're now what? Alive. We're no longer sinful. Even though we make mistakes and all that, we've been forgiven of our sins. And man, now we don't have to carry the burden ourselves. He's carried it for us, and we are no longer the subject and the object of his wrath, but of his love. What an amazing thing, just to, in those few scriptures, that this turnaround comes, that without Christ, that you and there's something wrong with us, to what we find in our next point here, that, you know, remember, you know, we're in this whole thing of who do you think you are? And listen, we think that we're messed up a lot. We think we're irreparable, that we can't be fixed, that man, life is too big. I mean, listen, if I was to go around here in a silent way, if I was able to ask each one of you, do you ever feel depressed? I'm telling you, the majority of us in here, if not all of us, we would say yes. We've all experienced it. For some reason, whatever, there's things that have brought us down, and we've seen, not been able to see a way out, and we've really let it get to us. We find ourselves in this place, and we've gone through it. But here's the thing: when we think about who God is and what He's done for us, it no longer is about what's wrong with us, but the shift becomes what's right about us. And it's this: that with Christ, you are God's masterpiece. What an amazing turn from being the object of His wrath to now being His masterpiece. He takes us from that state and He makes this turn in our lives. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, some of the most powerful verses I think that you and I can read. And I would just encourage you, don't let this be the only time you read these this week. I want to encourage you to read these scriptures every day this week. And multiple times, especially when you begin to feel those moments of inadequacy, those moments of depression, those moments of anxiety, it says this, that God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. It's this, that this is something that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. That if we believe and we trust in Him, then we've been given this amazing gift. Not because of the good things we do. There's not enough good things to do. There's not enough money to give. There's not enough, you know, people to feed and all of that stuff. There's not enough good things to do to earn it, but it's given as a gift. And then verse 10, this is it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us yesterday, an hour ago, a long ago. Listen, before you were ever shaped or formed, God knew you, and He knew what you were going to be done. He made you for something very important. Not to be very political, but when you think about abortion, every child that is not allowed to be born was created for a purpose. There are purposes missing in us. I don't want to get into that too deep, but you got to think about that as a believer in Jesus. There's something very wrong with that. And we've got to be able to understand it for what it is. It's not to put the pressure on in anybody. If you're here and you've been through that, listen, let me just tell you, there's healing there for you. Don't let that be part of where it takes you away from understanding who God is. I'm just saying that, listen, God's created us all for this. He's made it very clear that you have a purpose and every person has a purpose. And He's known that. We are not saved by the good things that we have done, but we are saved to do the good things for the One who saved us. It's not about what we've done, but it's about who we do it for. Salvation is something that takes us from a place of being wrong, being the subject of God's wrath, to now the object of His love, to be able to be loved by Him and used by Him the way that He created us to be done. I love the bumper sticker, or maybe you've seen the t-shirt. It says, God don't make no junk. Terrible grammar, incredible message. God don't make no junk. He didn't make you junk. You are not a waste of flesh and breath. We've probably all met people we kind of had to wonder about. But listen, I'm telling you that we all have a purpose, that we have been created for Him, and He doesn't make junk. So I need you to understand today that you are a masterpiece. Say this with me. Say, I am a masterpiece. I am a masterpiece. I am a masterpiece. You need to hear it, and you need to let it become part of who you are. If you're a believer in Jesus, the Bible says that you are God's masterpiece, created by Him for amazing purposes, to do the things that He created you for long, long, long ago. And I can promise you, one of the things you were not created for is to sit in a chair. Even though our bodies seem to form like them, and these are really comfy in here, some of them, that is not what we were created for, I promise you. It has never been about filling a chair. God's masterpiece was created for things to be done. He saved you so that you can do that. This word masterpiece is really awesome when you dig down into it in the Greek. The translation of it goes to the word poeme, and it's translates into a beautiful poem. That you are this beautiful poem about God's grace and glory. Isn't that awesome to think about? You know, because most of my days, I don't spend thinking about being this beautiful poem of God's. You know, I just don't. You know, walk by and look in the mirror and kind of, you know, and still, you know, still just not, don't feel like it. Don't look like it, whatever. You know, get out of bed and I'm like, oh man, my back and my knees and just don't feel very beautiful. But God says, I'm His masterpiece, and I'm a beautiful poem and this poetic statement of His glory. Man, what an amazing thing to think about. When we think of masterpiece, we think of perfect workmanship, something created that's beautiful to look at, and it's treasured, and we put all this value on it. I mean, you think about the masterpiece paintings. They're locked up in this place so tight you can't get to them. But you and I were created as masterpieces that have access to Almighty God and to access to every living being so that we can convey the message that we talked about last week. The good news. We are His masterpiece. We are a tapestry of His creative beauty in all that we do. How in the world can we spend so much of our lives struggling with anxiety and depression when the truth is that we're God's masterpiece? And listen, if you're sitting there thinking, you just don't know, Ron, you just don't, let me just tell you that I do know. Anybody remember about 2 years ago, I kept having these runs to the emergency room where I was having these heart issues, it seemed. Man, they put me on a treadmill and they looked at my heart and they said, your heart is healthy as a horse. It wasn't my heart, not my physical heart. It was my spiritual heart. Because see, I wasn't dealing with physical issues. The physical issues were coming from the other issues where I was struggling. I was having panic attacks. And I was spending a lot of time depressed about a lot of things that were going on, and I was feeling the weight of a lot of things pressing down on me. And so I know what it's like. I know what it's like to go ball up in a corner somewhere and just sit there and be like, man, I don't want to have to move from here ever again. I'm just telling you. If you allow yourself to be focused in on you and your problems, you will always see what's wrong with you. You will always see the inadequacies and all of that. But God says, listen, you're my masterpiece. And he really had to come to a place where it was, I didn't hear it audibly, but I began to hear it in so many different ways and places that, listen, this is not what I created you for. I didn't create you to do that with yourself. I created you to do this with me. And I created you to go and do what I've made you to do, and I need you to do it. And it took quite a while to finally get to the point of just opening up my spiritual eyes to see what he was doing. I'm telling you, I know what you're feeling. He says, you are a poetic statement of my glory. I kind of said that like old school preacher, didn't I? Glory. That was kind of cool. Anyway, sorry. Just one of those things. All right, so here. So let's get into this. That would crack me up. So let's get into kind of what this means for us. What does it mean to be God's masterpiece? Number one, you are created for the master's purpose. As his masterpiece, you were created for the master's purpose. The workman here has made you for his purpose. And you exist. That purpose is to bring him glory. David in the Old Testament in Psalm writes this amazing, these amazing words that we have heard so often and we've listened to. Listen to Psalm 139, verse 13. Just let yourself just listen for a second, okay? For you, he's talking to God. For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Listen today, if you are feeling inadequate and you're feeling alone and you're feeling like it's just you and nobody's around, nobody's there for you, nobody cares, nobody can even understand what's going on, he just said that he does. God knows you. He made you. And he knows exactly where you are. Think about this. Verse 16 there is kind of powerful, but doesn't it just sound like something else we just read? Think about verse 10 there of Ephesians. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Verse 16 of Psalm 139. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Listen, David in the Old Testament was saying the same thing that would later be said by Paul in to the Ephesians. It's like, listen, you knew me way before I was ever made, and before anything ever came to be of me, you knew about it and you knew what it would be like. Listen, he knows you. And he knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what's going on. And he is there to help you wherever you are. Whatever it may be, he is there for you. When you know who you are, listen. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. You need to know today that you're a masterpiece. And when you know that you're a masterpiece, then you will know that you don't have to stay buried like you've been. That you don't have to live your life on the side of being anxious and all of that, but that you can live it on the side of understanding that there is something greater for you than to live your life like that. You're created to serve his purpose. That's so powerful to me. I think about all of the continuum of time that God somehow created me in and allowed me to come into this earth in 1969, and for whatever he gives me, the next 70 or 80 years from that point, that he chose to put me here for some reason to do something that would be amazing under the master's hand, the master's purpose. Whatever year you came into existence, he created you to, from there to whenever he calls you home, there is a purpose for you to be here. Can you really imagine that? Put that into perspective of where you've been living your life, where, oh, it's just today, and today is, you know, all that matters. You know, we live by a motto, you know, carpe diem, seize the day. You know what, man? You need to seize that time, because that's what he's given you, and he's put you here to do something with it. Don't just get hung up on the past, because the past is gone. Don't be worried about the, you know, so much about the future, but worry about today. What is the purpose that all of that comes together for? Why are you here? Who do you think you are? The Bible says if you're a believer in Jesus, that you're a masterpiece created in him to do works that were planned for you a long time ago. Purpose is important. Life without purpose reduces everything down to just some kind of experiment or something. If you don't know what the purpose of something is, it can get you in big trouble. If you don't know what the purpose of an object is, you can just wander around trying to. You can't ask the object, can you? I'm gonna give you an example here. And it's going to be a little rough, okay? But you got to hang with me because you know me. When I make a point, I really like to make a point. And so I just want to warn you a little bit, okay? Because when it comes to the purpose of something, you need to know what it is, because if you don't know, it'll get you in trouble. Anybody know what this is? You know what it is? What is it? Y'all don't want to say it. It's a cup. It's an athletic cup, okay? If you're a male in the room, you knew exactly what it was because it protects some very important stuff, right? Somebody said you should say it protects the family jewels because that sounds really nice or whatever. But yeah, whatever. It protects important stuff, okay? But if you don't know what it is and you look at it, you know, if you kind of pick it up and look at it, though, and kind of turn it over, it kind of looks like something else, doesn't it? Like if you're like looking at it and you kind of turn it over, it's like, well, that would kind of... You see, it could look like something like that. And so what you don't want to do is confuse those two. Right? If you don't know the purpose of the first one and you try to use it like the purpose of the second one, man, that's nasty, okay? It's really gross, because the other one is to breathe you life-giving oxygen, right? The other one, it could save a guy's life, and maybe lives of his kids down the road, but if you stick it in and take a deep breath out of it, man, that is nasty, okay? So see, the point is you need to know the purpose of stuff, and you need to know your purpose. I told you it was going to be gross. I tried to warn you a little bit, but you got the point, okay? I mean, the truth of where we're at is, listen, as believers in Jesus, we've got to know what our purpose is. It is not to come to church one Sunday a month, get a little bit of Jesus on, and go out of here and think we're okay. It is not about coming to church and thinking we got to do things a certain way or else it's all going to fall apart. No, it's that we've got to come and we've got to tell this message of the good news of Jesus, that he died on a cross, paid the price for our sins, and that if you believe and trust in him, that you can be saved for eternity. And if we don't convey that message, we have missed our purpose, and we're like an athletic cup on somebody's face. We're not going to protect what we're supposed to protect. I don't know that anybody's probably ever used the gospel like that. But you get the point. Church, listen, we are messing up. I know that's not very encouraging, but we're missing out that we're to be a vessel for the good news of Jesus, that people can come and understand it and be changed by it and grow into it so that they can then go tell somebody else about it. Church isn't a place for us to gather and just hang out together and talk about something we have in common. That is a club. That becomes an exclusive group of people. That we're exclusive of everybody else. The church has got to be the most inclusive place of people who don't know about Jesus. Thank you, whoever that was. We've got to get out of it. Listen, if you go in and start talking to people, I guarantee you, it won't take long to find somebody who'll tell you they're never going to go to church somewhere. Because the church has been so messed up and it's not fulfilled its purpose. See, not only are we a masterpiece, but the church is a masterpiece because it's made of His masterpieces. But if we don't live it out the way that He's asked us to, if we don't do it the way that He's created us to, then we're going to miss out. We can draw a big crowd. I have no doubt. If we keep posting pictures of me doing the worm on the stage and all, we'll draw a crowd. But we'll just draw a crowd of people wanting to see the next little thing that we can do. I don't want to do that. I want to draw people that want to know about the gospel of Jesus, be changed by it, and then go tell somebody else so they can be changed by it. All that we do is, that should be what drives it all. And I got to ask, don't answer it audibly, just I want you to answer it in your heart. Why did you come today? What brought you here today? Was it the gospel? Was it the good news of Jesus? Or was it just you're doing what you're supposed to do on Sunday morning at 10:30 or 11? Is it just that you're just doing what somebody else wants you to do? Listen, I'm glad you're here, for whatever your reason is. But I just want to encourage you to think about what should be your reason. What should have got you here today? As God's masterpiece, you were created for the master's purpose. Number two, you have everything you need to do everything God wants you to do. You have everything that you need to do everything that God wants you to do. You're a masterpiece. You were created with it all. You don't need any touch-ups. You don't need anything. He gave you everything that you need to do everything He asked you to do. I'm just telling you. Some of us are here maybe thinking that, well, I'll come to church because I need a little bit more to be able to do what God wants me to be. No. You've got everything that you need. Well, I'll keep honing it for you, and I'll do what I can do to help you with that. And we can always know more. The more we know, I think the better off we are. Knowledge is wonderful. But as far as the good news of Jesus, that purpose we were created to be the ambassador we talked about last week, you have everything that you need if you have Jesus. What more? What Jesus plus what? Jesus plus nothing is everything. And you have it. If you've trusted Him and believed in Him, you have everything. 2 Peter 1:3 says, God's divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who's called us by His own glory and goodness. God did that little. You ever seen when people paint by hand? When they get that big and they just slap that stuff up there? Man, I love watching that. That is so awesome. I like the little Afro dude that paints those little things too. You know, Bob Ross, he's kind of cool. But I like when they paint those big things with their. Because that's what God, I think, did that. He just made me and. You know what I mean? That's how I see Him making me. It's just good, you know. And so He gave me everything that I needed to do what I needed to do. And what an amazing thing. You have everything that you need. No matter how shy you are, no matter how out loud and outspoken you are, no matter how tall you are, short you are, round or thin, whatever. You got everything that you need to do what He has created you to do. I think about Moses. He called him, and Moses tried to give him excuses. Oh, I can't talk because I stutter or whatever. And he's like, I gave you Aaron. Take Aaron with you, and he'll talk for you. You know what I mean? He's did everything. You know, Moses gets to the Red Sea, and he's like, oh my goodness, they're coming after me. And God says, oh, I'll give you a part in the sea. You know, and so everything was there. It was like he didn't have to think about it. He had a plan. He knew when he took them there that there was something he was going to do through them to continue to use Moses the way he did. Moses had everything that he needed. And so do you. So do you. Number three, God uses everything in your life to bring about his purposes. God uses everything in your life to bring about his purposes. Romans 8:28 is one of the most common scriptures that you know, we hear a lot, and it's also not only the one that we hear a lot, it's also the one we hear misused a lot. All right, we got to be careful with Romans 8:28. But here's the thing. He says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Let me just say that he can take your mistakes and he can use them, and he can do that. That is not what he wants to do, but he can do that. But he will take everything about you and he will take it good. Listen, the things that you are proud of, the things that you hope nobody else knows, the things that you would broadcast on the news, and the things that you would hide in the deepest parts of you, the things you're proud of, the things you regret. Listen, he can take all of those things and he can use those for your good. This is like a whole message in itself. It's like a series almost. I could preach for days on Romans 8:28 and the reality of this. But here's the thing, that he uses everything in your life to bring about his purposes. He can use it however he sees fit, and he will if we trust him and let him. Sometimes we've made some big mess ups. And let me just, we've sinned, okay? We try to make it feel really good by saying we messed up. We sin. And listen, he can take that and he can do something good with it. Doesn't mean that we won't have consequences of it. Doesn't mean it won't hurt. But he can still do something good with it. And so we need to be aware of it. That he uses everything in our lives to do that. And so we need to be able to allow him to have access to all of us. To let him use it. Knowing that we may have to go through some difficulties with it. We may feel a little bit more inadequate because of him using it. The truth is that we're not. That's just the guilt and the shame of our sin sometimes, but we need to be encouraged that God can take those things and he can do something amazing with it. I've been asked before, you know, Ron, do you regret your life, you know, accepting Jesus so late in your life? I accepted Christ at 21, and I had done things by the age of 21 that some of you haven't done, you know, by the age of 60 or whatever. I'm just telling you, I've just done some things I'm not very proud of. And some people say, well, if you could go back, would you change those things? And very tempting is to answer, yes, I would go back and change those things. But the truth is that I would not. Because God has taken those things and he has used those to shape me into the person that I am today. Some of them have been extremely hurtful. Some of them have not just hurt me, but they've hurt other people. Some of them they're just bad. But you know what? I wouldn't change them because he's used them to make me better and to make people around me better because of it. Here's the thing. I don't regret the darkness because it's made the light a lot brighter. Think about that. Don't regret the bad times because they can make the good times much better if we'll believe in him and trust in him and allow him to be who he wants us to be. Maybe you're just like, you know what, Ron, I'm done. I find myself at this place. I hear what you're saying. I believe that I could be a masterpiece, but I'm just done. I don't want this anymore. I don't want to be like this. Well, there's good news for you. If you don't like yourself, let God remake you. God is the God of do-overs. God is the God of second chances, y'all. I don't know how many you've had, but I've had a bunch of them. And he's always been good, and he's always been faithful through them. If you don't like where you are right now, let God remake you. Let him make you new. Let him restart in you right now, today. Don't wait till tomorrow or this afternoon. Today, let him remake you. Let him take that masterpiece, become a whole brand new thing for you. Listen to what Jeremiah chapter 18 says. I love this story. Here it says, "So I went down to the potter's house and saw him working at the potter's wheel. He was using his hands to make a pot from clay, but something went wrong with it." Some of you are at the place where you're feeling like the pot messed up, that it fell apart, that it's a disaster and it's all over the place. Some of you are like, you know what, my pot's blown up. Marriage, I hope my marriage would be this, but it's fell apart. I hoped my kids would be this. Something went wrong with it. Something's happened. Something's not worked out the way that I thought. As I look at my life, this can't be what God had for me. This is not the masterpiece that I envisioned, Ron. Something's gone wrong. And so what do you do when you realize that something's gone wrong? You go to the potter and listen. So the potter used that clay to make another pot the way he wanted it to be. Today, if you're not happy with where you are and who you are, let the potter remake the pot. Let him take the clay of who you are. Because listen, he uses everything for his purpose. But let him take you and let him begin to spin you. And let him mold you and make you back into the beautiful pot that you were created to be. Listen, today's a day where you don't have to stay the same. You don't ever have to hear the word of God and be the same. You can let it change you right now. You can be remade into this picture, this beautiful masterpiece that he has made, that he's wanted to make you the whole time, that he created you to be in the very beginning. Now you can trust him to be that. You're a masterpiece in Christ. Believe it. Let him show you what that looks like. See, in the next couple of minutes, I'm gonna pray, and I'm just gonna, if you today, man, maybe you're just thankful that for the masterpiece that you are. Awesome. There are some beautiful masterpieces in here as I look around this room, just lives that God's done amazing things with. And I'm so thankful for those. So maybe today you just need to be thankful that you are. Maybe today, you know, you need to just say, you know what, God, I'm just tired. I'm tired of not being this and not seeing the masterpiece that you want to make me. I'm tired of not living the way that you've asked me to live, and I'm just ready for you to remake me. I'm ready to take you to take this clay and just begin to mold me and make me this beautiful thing that you want me to be. Then listen, today, this is the moment. This is it. You have a chance to do something fresh and new and walk out of here framed up beautiful the way that he created you to be. What are you going to do with it? God, we pray in these moments that, God, that you would allow us to hear clearly from you, God, to see ourselves the way that you see us, to want to be exactly who it is that you created us to be. God, I pray in these moments that we would be thankful that you look at us that way, that you see this amazing, beautiful work that you've created for your purposes, and that we would be able to see it that way. But God, if maybe there's somebody here today that's never trusted you and believed you in you to be able to see themselves that way, then God, I pray right now that there would be people that would trust you with salvation, to trust you, to allow you to come and live within them, because that's where the masterpiece is completed. That's where the beauty shines. That's where the light and the freshness come from, that relationship with you. And so, God, I pray that in these moments you would allow people to accept you and be changed by you. God, for those that need just to be reminded of that moment they accepted you and that you completed that picture of them for your purpose, and God, I pray that they would make that choice now. God, maybe we just need to come and just pray and ask you to reveal the beauty of our picture. Then God, whatever it is that needs to happen, then may we not be stuck to a chair because we're afraid of what somebody else may think. God, may we be freed up by what the Master says we're worth, and that you say we are a beautiful masterpiece. And we're the perfection of your creation. God, may you move in our lives today. And may we not walk out of here today anxious or down or depressed, God, but that may we walk out of here knowing that we have this amazing purpose in you, Jesus. That you've made us beautiful. And I pray that in Jesus' name.